Welcome to the Freemasons Podcast, coming to you live from Morningstar Lodge number 47. Leave your aprons at the door, my brother.
Welcome to the Freemasons Podcast. Relaunched!
Yeah.
After a month.
Yep. Reloaded.
We've had some shit going on, and...
Yeah, you know, we've been busy little beavers, or busy little bees, to employ a Masonic reference there. We've been industrious members of the Hive.
Yes, we have.
And as a result, we haven't recorded.
Yep. I got myself a new shirt. Ken thoroughly likes
it. Stupid people keep me employed.
This is true.
I'm just wearing all my Mossberg garb today. I feel like I'm a sales representative.
I've seen this shirt, I'm like, oh, this is perfect.
I didn't mean to, like, coordinate all of my branding today.
But we're back. We had a conversation via our little GroupMe group.
Yep.
And we had a conversation about how we're going to start recording, getting back on the wagon. And we're going to be pumping out more content to you more and more.
Yeah, today more videos.
Today we're only doing it, not remotely. What's the word I'm looking for?
Offline.
We didn't go live today. Just decided... Hell with it. Until we get back in the flow, we'll
so we can re-listen and actually edit for a change.
Maybe. Yeah,
that's pretty amazing.
But today, episode. Oh God, what episode are we on? Let's find out what episode we're on. Episode 228, and this is going to be Freemasonry and Witchcraft. Somebody a while ago sent me an article about it, and there's actually a book apparently that's about it. The Freemasons' influence on pagan and witchcraft. Mm-hmm. I don't have the book, so I'm not going to read an entire freaking book, but I do have an article here from 2019.
Oh, we didn't actually introduce ourselves.
Oh, yeah. I'm Right Worshipful Brother George Marjorie.
And I'm Worshipful Brother Ken.
See, that's how long we've been out of the loop.
Yeah, we got like Instagram people.
Too. All right. I am no longer on Facebook again. I took the liberty of deleting myself off of Facebook. I said before that I'd never get back on it again. I did get back on it again because I was going for a particular political post that I ended up getting. But realistically, I deleted it because I wanted to.
Yeah, and nowadays, if you have to promote yourself in any way, it's like you have to be on social media whether you want to or not. And that, you know, that kind of sucks.
Realistically speaking, and I'll speak on it real quickly, I found that the internet has become a very negative place. You're not allowed to have an opinion anymore. There's no banter between two differences of opinions and still keeping it relatively civil.
Yeah. I mean, there is one place on the internet where you can do that.
Right here.
Do you happen to know where that is, George?
Right here.
That's on our Discord server, which you can gain access to for $3 or $5 a month.
Something
a little
like
bit
that.
More if you want to contribute. That's fine, too. But if you join our Patreon, you will have access to that Discord where we do still have civil banter.
Uh-huh. And, you know, you're allowed to have a difference of opinion.
You may be razzed for it.
Oh, yeah, that can absolutely. Happen. But there's no conjunction. What is that the word I'm looking for? Big fancy word?
Contention.
Contention. That's the word I'm looking for. But I found that the internet is a very contentious place.
It is right now,
And you're not allowed to have an opinion. And honest to God, you know, it just got to a point where I'm like, you know what? Why am I sitting here? You know, I joined Facebook and all that stuff to, as a guy who's running for a political office, trying to do the right thing of being hopefully a bridge or a gap between two ideologies, if you will.
You're definitely a gap between something.
You fucking... you know, you try bridging that gap, you try being the middleman, you try doing
Yeah, you had noble, you had noble,
noble intentions, and it became quite self-evident that there are certain things that no matter what you say or do, people are going to hold true to those opinions and shit all over you for them. So I gracefully decided to bow out, and I'm going to stay that way. And if you want to reach out to me, you know how to get me. If you got my cell phone, I have a email address through the town that I represent. So if they need to get a hold of me, there's ways to get a hold of me. And I am a firm believer in face-to-face conversation. Yeah. I do not like doing things over the internet and or Skype, Zoom, or anything like that. I would much rather meet a person face-to-face and have a civilized conversation as it used to be.
Yep. And Discord. You still have your Discord.
And I still have my Discord.
I'm assuming because I saw you post this morning.
Yep. I still have Discord. I didn't delete Discord. I would never get rid of my Discordians.
Yes.
Love them, some bitches.
Yes, exactly. That would be that would be bad days if you just cut yourself off entirely from the internet.
Oh, no. I cut myself off of the social media with the keyboard tough guys. I'm good with it. In the famous words of Mike Tyson, who said, social media has become a place where people are allowed to express their opinions because they cannot get punched in the face.
Yeah. Was it Mike Tyson?
That was Mike Tyson. I'll actually look for the exact quote of what he said. But he said,
in the meantime, you want me to go through our new Instagram followers?
Yes.
There are quite a few. So we have Wisconsin Masons, District 1. What's up, brothers? Daryl Moore, Alex Toey, Joey the Carp. I think I said him already. Let me skip ahead a little bit. Sean Froman, Adolfo De Lima, Shay, Howie Linder, The Armadillo Lounge. Cool. Andrew Brown, Christopher Lolly, Ian Mercer, Pierre Pagan, Akif, Amin Hotep Fidi.
Nice.
Yeah. Solid name if that's actually your first name, there, brother. Greg Jr., Adam Brooks, Mitch Hubler, Juan Delgado, Alex, Johnny Ryan Jr., Seven Ward, Dennis Boyd, Michael Hamilton, Lance K. Ram, Serge McKenge, Team Coburn, Dakota Scott, Shane Alexander, and Stephen Erskine. Thank you, brothers and friends.
Thank you. And the actual Mike Tyson quote was, social media made y'all way too comfortable with disrespecting people and
disrespecting.
He picked up on that?
I like how you did that.
Disrespecting people and not getting punched in the face for it. Nice. Love that quote. That should go on a postcard somewhere.
It really should.
All right.
Like our tagline.
Disrespecting.
I was trying to figure out which brother sent us the original idea to do Freemasonry and witchcraft and stuff.
It was somewhere on the social media that I'm no longer part of.
Yeah, that's why I was kind of like digging around for it in your stead. I think it was on Instagram, but I can't seem to find it. So.
All right, so here we go. Apple, you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right, we got a couple. Okay. This is from Biff2356.
Okay.
Biff. Isn't that the guy who was in Back to the Future?
The protagonist or whatever.
The protagonist of Back to the Future, right? His name is Biff, wasn't
protagonist.
It?
Protagonist. That's probably the wrong term. But yeah, the you know, the arch nemesis
of Marty.
The asshole.
Let's just call it what it is. He was an asshole.
Yeah, Biff Tannen.
Yes, Biff Tannen. That's right. Maybe that's him. Hi, Biff. Awesome podcast. 5-star review. I am a new MM in Massachusetts. Oh, definitely him then because he's an asshole.
Oh.
Love you guys from Massachusetts. And this podcast helped me so much in my learning. Great topics for discussion on so many subjects as well. So much humor in these brothers. We're funny.
I guess. Some may say.
Just love it. And you do not have to be an MM to enjoy this show. Nope.
No, in fact,
if you are curious about Masonry, this is a great place to start. Love the history episodes too. Cheers. Sean from his name is Sean, so he's not Biff. That's all right though. We'll still call you Biff.
Yeah.
Sean, quote, Biff Froman, St. Mark's Lodge, Newburyport, Massachusetts.
Nice.
Cool. Toast him.
Yeah, let's do it.
Brother, right hand to arms.
Two arms.
Ready?
Ready.
Aim. Fire good fire, fire all. Together, brother. Vivat, vivat, vivat. We still got it.
Oh, yeah.
All right. This one's from Leroy415. fun and informative 5-star review. Enjoyable and doesn't make me want to automatically delete this podcast.
That's awesome. You know what? That's high praise. Because you know how many podcasts I've gone through where it's like I listen to one episode and then I just purge it and just forget about it. Remove it from my memory and from my app. I love
freaking
that.
Love the honesty. That's hysterical. Appreciate that. Good to know other seekers out there, even though it looks like Masons don't have an answer to this puzzle planet. Nope.
Not yet. Nope.
Not y'all. Hello, sunshine.
That's a new one.
Oh, I think this is my favorite fucking review we've ever had. Not only did he say hello, sunshine.
Brutal honesty.
But he also said it makes me not want to delete it right away.
That's all we can really hope for.
That's freaking hilarious. All right. So let's toast them. Kenny, you lead us.
Yeah. Brother, right hand to arms.
Two arms.
Ready.
Ready.
Aim.
Aim.
Fire good fire, fire all. Together, brother. Vivat, vivat, vivat.
Oh, that was funny.
Yeah, this is, I love
that. And I apologize, I'm drinking the bitch twisted tea, but that's what I
That's all right, because I'm drinking the claw.
What did you say when you walked in the door?
The claw is the law. It's because it is. Look, it's July, what is it, July 17th here in Connecticut. It's probably 85 degrees out there. It's going to be in the 90s next week, and it's humid, man. So, and especially up in this lodge room, like, it is hot.
I got some under booby sweat. There's no lie about that.
So, you got to drink this kind of stuff if you're going to drink anything. And this is a White Claw Surf Citrus Yuzu Smash.
Jesus Christ.
I have no idea what yuzu is. It just kind of tastes like flavored seltzer, so... and yeah, George has the twisted tea half and half, which is basically all sugar. But
pretty much,
yeah, we're not drinking heavy.
That's
IPAs
because I'm sweet.
Yeah, you certainly are.
Nice.
So I was digging around looking for this brother, and I can't. I went through Instagram and Facebook. I know I talked to him about this topic, and I can't figure out who that
is. Hey, whoever the brother is who sent us this article, appreciate it. We're gonna cover it right now.
Yeah, we just have a lot of messages, so send us another message so that you're at the top of our feed so that we can give you proper attribution next time.
So this article, the name of the article is Witchcraft and the Freemasons, and it was put out by Jason Mankey on January 7th, 2019. If you want to read along, it's on this website called pantheos.com. Okay. And it writes, several years ago, I was lucky enough to present a massive Samhain ritual at Masonic Hall in Santa Cruz, California.
Samhain or something like that. So Samhain is like I think it's the pagan word for Halloween.
Samhain.
Yeah, Samhain.
Where the fuck was I?
Sorry.
No, you're good. Though rather nondescript on the outside, the building hosted a lodge, the Mason's name for a meeting space, that looked to me like a ballroom in a medieval castle.
Okay.
Yeah, some temples are like that, yeah.
Yep. Even more impressive is how the room simmered with energy. It wasn't witchy energy, but it was close. And that's most likely because modern witchcraft has borrowed and adapted the whole host of things from the Masons. Agreed.
Hmm. Okay.
Most organizations and or, not most, a lot of religions and organizations borrowed a lot of shit from the Masons.
Yeah, I mean, we stole some of our stuff from even older organizations.
Right.
But yeah, you know, like the Odd Fellows, you know, Skull and Bones, all these organizations that have popped up since definitely borrow.
Yep. A great deal of the terminology we use today comes straight from Freemasonry. This should be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Phrases such as "so mote it be," and "merry meet and merry part," and "merry meet again" were used in Masonic lodges long before they were uttered in the magic circle. Magic spelled with a K at the end.
Yep.
I've never heard that one before. "Merry meet and merry part," and "merry meet again."
Yeah, I mean, we say it differently, but it's the
same concept.
It's the concept of the thing, right? It's like we meet on the level. We part on the square.
Right. Oh, okay.
So may we ever meet again. You know, that kind of
okay. I got you. Yeah, I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I mean, I've never heard it used in that term, but I mean, I just want to be clear that rituals from different states different.
Yeah, they're definitely going to be different.
And then you get the older traditional, you get the lodge tradition, like yep. Hiram One, who wears their apron under their jacket.
Yeah.
That could also be kept in their ritual part as the lodge
history,
tradition.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes there's just idioms that pop up you know, from Freemasonry that aren't part of our ritual, like merry meet and merry part. And that might have been just something that people used to say in the 1800s at a table lodge or something. Right, it doesn't necessarily have to be ritualistic. Sometimes it's just, you know, a phrase that ends up on a postcard or something. So it's
or if you're Creedence Clearwater Revival, it pops up in a song, "Proud Mary." Anyway,
oh, okay.
One, even the craft quote as a synonym for witchcraft in Wicca comes from the Masons. Oh, there we go. The craft. That's what they call witchcraft.
Yeah,
the
but
craft.
That, it could have come from
it could have come from. Really. Yeah, it could have. Okay, I see what he's doing there.
Is it craft with a capital C?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Two, Masonry has influenced more than modern witchcraft. It has influenced dozens of occult orders since the 1700s. If imitation is a serious form of flattery, then groups ranging from the Mormon Church to the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn owe the Masons a large debt. Agreed.
Mm-hmm. We've had the crap flattered out of us.
Yes. Fair enough. It is not an exaggeration to suggest that Freemasonry has played a role in the initiation rituals of every occult and esoteric group since the last 350 years. Mm. Even groups that weren't directly influenced by the Masons most likely picked up something from them secondhand. Okay.
Yeah.
Masonry has been influential not just because of its longevity, but also because its rituals, especially those pertaining to the initiation and elevation, are effective. Many of these orders also have 3 degrees. That chair's jacked up.
I think this is Joe's chair.
Maybe.
It is definitely...
looser?
Yeah. I'm going to have to swap chairs here before I end up on the floor.
Go ahead. I'll keep going so that you can... not end up on the floor or with the chair post jammed, crammed, clean up your ass. Ken got the lucky chair. He's got the FMP podcast chair. Yep. There you go, Instagram. Snap that picture.
Yeah. There we go. That's much more stable.
Too many people, the Masons are esoteric and occult order par excellence, and to others they are simply a harmless fraternal organization. Boy. The truth of the matter probably lies between the two extremes.
A little bit.
He's basically saying...
We're more than a fraternal order, that's for sure.
Okay.
Right? We're not like the Lions Club. We're more than that, but we're less than, you know, evil society trying to take over the world and Illuminati and all that kind of
unless
stuff.
Unless you're
so.
Gangrene.
They're unless
evil.
Unless you're them. Yeah.
The truth of the matter lies in the extremes. Esoteric knowledge can be found in Masonry if one is looking for it, and if someone isn't seeking such things, the order can be experienced without those elements. Agreed.
Yep, 100%. What happened?
People walking, looking out the window.
Is that against the law?
No. Yeah, I guess I could see that. I'm down with that because, you know, there are some people who... Alex DeFranzo, he's Mr. Esoteric.
Oh, yeah, he's way into it.
He's deep and down the esoteric hole.
Yep.
Some people take it as face value. I get out of the house, I get to meet with the brothers, I get to hang out, I get to do my thing, you know, with a little bit of ritual involved, and they just take it as a community thing. Yeah. We got Chad Mullins, who, I think it's Chad, or is it Cody? Might be Cody. One of the two brothers, is big into the, we got a whole bin right over there on the floor of,
The food collection.
Food pantry. Yeah. That we give to the local town. People are big into the community service thing.
Yep.
Raph does his car show, you know, but you got Alex who goes deep down the rabbit hole. He's looking to find God, you know.
He's looking for like real, real Masonic light. That's the one element of Freemasonry that I never really got that much into.
Me neither.
I like everything else about it, and I enjoyed
I enjoyed the lessons, the life lessons out of it.
Yeah,
but never really did I go down the deep esoteric hole.
Yeah, the symbolism for sure, but not like, you know, going all the way back to
a little bit
alchemy,
a little bit.
And like that's Joe's thing. That's, I mean, there are some brothers
a little bit I do, and I'll tell you why. Because I read the Lost Book of Enki. You heard me read that.
Oh yeah, okay, that got you.
So
yeah, yeah.
That kind of got me sparked into it. So I go down a little bit, and I mostly look at it from the where the hell did mankind come from? Yeah. And I'm a believer that inside of our rituals, there are things that are buried. I think the older ritual, not so much newer ritual, because they puked it all up and regurgitated and added lines and shit that shouldn't have been in there.
Different people made changes over time, which in that way, it's a lot like the Bible, right? You have like the original scriptures, and then you have, you know, interpretations.
But why do we do that as people? Why do we do that? Why do we always add more shit than we need to? Take the original freaking lesson and keep it with that.
For the Bible, I think it's more of a game of telephone, right? Because there was no real transcription per se. I mean, there was always... you get copy-pasta kind of errors where, like...
How about when in our ritual, or Freemasonry's continued use of its imprecations alluded to in its ancient allegations
so that's different.
Totally figurative. The only penalty...
Shut up! Get that out of there.
That was added due to, like, societal pressures over time. That's a different thing than I think the original, you know, retranscriptions of the Bible. But, yeah, I mean, things get added for, you know, legal or societal reasons.
Why?
Things get subtracted because they're redundant or the terminology is too outmoded or whatever.
If you truly believe that we are going to actually do what we say we're going to do and our obligations, and it's not just wholly figurative, and that you have to actually add it. It's like putting a warning label on a hot coffee.
That's true.
You're going to get burned, stupid.
Like, yeah, I think it's implied that it's not meant to be taken literally, but
I don't like it.
You shouldn't have to baby spoon feed people these things.
I believe in natural selection. If you dump a screaming hot coffee on you and you didn't realize, it wasn't hot, and you sue McDonald's for $1 million, shit on you. You're an idiot. You dumped the hot coffee on you.
It kind of makes me think about, like, you know, the judges or the grand juries or whoever they're making these decisions these days. Like, who does that? Who's like, the company's definitely to blame for that.
Not everything needs to be watered down. Some shit should just be common sense. And if you don't understand common sense, natural selection.
Yeah.
Survival of the fittest, baby.
Yeah. And if you believe that Masonic penalties are real, then...
Doesn't
hurt anybody.
Sure. I'm sure back in the day if somebody got their head lopped the hell off. Today, modern society, probably not.
That is not one of our penalties.
Using that as an
example.
I'm just talking.
And I don't think that actually ever happened, to tell you the truth.
I don't know if it did, but I'm just saying. Then again, back then they didn't have social media for some Karen to get on there and be like, somebody got their head lopped off. You know, like,
I think at some point maybe it was literal. Maybe.
Maybe.
But I think
I'm talking about like way back then, 1700s, Renaissance time, way back in the day.
But even if at the very beginning 2020? It was meant to be implied, I think that's still pretty, like, most people can look at that and say, yep, okay, so these guys are serious, whether they mean it or not, they are serious. So this is an important oath that I'm taking right now.
I'm good at it.
Yeah, it's interesting.
See what you did? I love this podcast. I love coming up here. It feels really good to record. But then when I start reading shit, like I start to get the shakes. Like,
yeah, the anger. I see it welling up within you.
All right, let me continue on. The level of mystery to be found in Masonry is up to each individual member, which, much like witchcraft, Masonry provides a place to experience many mysteries. But how those mysteries are interpreted and received will vary from person to person.
Yep.
Much of the intrigue that attached to Masons today comes from rather speculative origins of the order. Yeah, we really... And here's the thing. I just want to be clear about this. Even Masons don't know how exactly we got started.
Yeah,
we know that there was a recorded Grand Lodge meeting in 1700 in England.
Yep.
Okay? At Goose and Gridiron. But it's just, and if you made this comparison before, it's just like the Mafia. Mafia didn't just pop up one day and say, hey, let's start extorting people and embezzling money. Like, that didn't happen. It was going on before it became a known thing.
Yeah, and you had things like a lot of people, the literacy rate was a lot, you know, lower back then. So maybe that was the reason that things weren't being recorded. Or maybe, you know, prior to that, even though there was a Masonic... Okay. Nice throw. Even though there was kind of a Masonic fraternity, maybe it was not, you know, there weren't rules about making sure that everything is committed to paper.
And
right?
I made
so, like, written.
Real quick, I just made an error. I made a folly. It wasn't 1700, it was 1717, the first grade.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have a t-shirt that has that on it, but, you know, I wasn't going to call you out. Yep. So, I mean, there is. I don't know, man. I think there's probably.
Do you need another bitch claw? I mean, white claw.
Not quite yet.
Okay.
Yeah, but thank you.
Slacker.
Appreciate that.
Continue.
Waitress.
Fuck.
I don't remember where I was at now.
We were talking about 1717. You had a t-shirt, and then we were talking about...
Yeah, the origins of the penalties and stuff. It's
we don't really know where we started. Like we really don't. Like it could have come from. I mean, there's writings in Scotland. I gotta say this right before Maguire rips my head off. Edinburgh.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. Some of it is kind of obviously Masonic, but it's not verifiable, right? So there is written records
allusions
going back,
to it,
right,
if you will.
Further prior to that. So we know that it existed. We just don't know kind of like in what form. Correct. Because we don't have minutes, for example.
So, yeah, when you have that type of mystique about you, they don't really know where you came from. Like, where did it come from? Yeah, sure, it draws some scrutiny.
Yeah. That coupled with the fact that certain elements of the fraternity are secret. You know, it's just...
realistically, if you think about it, I mean, religion goes through the same trials and tribulations. We don't know where mankind came from, and, you know, religion says God created us. But there's no verifiable evidence that we came from God. It's more of a belief. It's right? What do they call it? Have faith.
A leap of faith.
Yeah. Faith. Yeah. But I mean, that's why religion gets scrutiny, because we don't really have... It's no different than religion with us,
That's true. Reasons. Yeah, if your origin story is a little muddied, it definitely leaves room for speculation.
I'm going with Enki.
Enki.
I'm going with Enki. It makes the most sense.
Good old Zachariah Stitchin. He knew what was going on.
Let's see here. Depending on who one talks to, the Masons have either existed since biblical times, or were formed a little more than 300 years ago when four Masonic groups in London got together in 1717 and formed the Grand Lodge. I'm going to go somewhere in between. I'm going to go somewhere in between. Do I think that they came from when they are building Egypt and everything, or Jerusalem or whatever? No. I don't.
I like to think that it came from maybe an amalgam of a couple different, mystery schools from back around that time, right? Greece, Egypt, maybe. But I don't think it goes much further back than that.
I think it's a combination of two things. One, it's an operative and a speculative thing. I'm a firm believer that Masonry got its start in stonemasonry.
Right.
They're building buildings, and realistically, think about it. And I said they made this comparison before. If you had the power or the knowledge to build something, let's just say...
Something grand.
Let's say a teleportation machine.
Okay.
We'll go with teleportation machine. You, Mr. Ken, Mr. IT, you build a teleportation machine where you can teleport from your house to the podcast in 2 seconds.
Man, that would certainly help with our content problems.
But... with
now I'm starting to like figure out how I would do this.
But you can't build the teleportation machine yourself. You need a extra pair of hands.
Right.
So you're going to tell somebody, hey, man, I got this teleportation machine I need your help with. Okay. But you can't tell anybody because they're going to steal my idea and then they're going to make money off it.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. Freemasonry in the stonemasons got started. You had a guy who was a stonemason, can build elaborate buildings and stones, and he taught an apprentice how to do it. And that's how the stonemasons got started. And that was where the beginning of the secrecy started, is make sure you keep your mouth shut because we don't want people stealing our craft and stealing our money, and we can't get paid because now everybody knows how to do this shit.
So I totally agree with you. My point in the matter is that those modes of keeping things secret must have come from something prior.
Well, and that's where I believe that the person who was a stonemason knew about these mystery schools and started hijacking.
The guy that was the guild president was like, okay, here's how we're going to build our wall of secrecy.
And it was either one of two things. That guild leader, if you will, was either a high priest or somebody who was in that mystery schools who took those mysteries and brought them to his little quiet fraternity of stonemasons guilds.
Yep.
Or they just adopted what they were seeing of those mystery schools, much like the Elks Club did to us, or the skull, like kind of what we were talking about, the Skull and Bones, or they were either in the Masons and took that ritual with them to form the new group, or they just mirrored what we did.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's where I think it kind of comes from. I think it was both operative and speculative, and that got started, I don't want to say in Egypt, I don't want to say in...
Well,
that's
more like medieval.
If I would, that's where I was going to go with. Yeah. I think personally, this kind of got started near the Knights Templar.
Yeah.
Because the Knights Templar were building castles, churches, cathedrals, fortifications, and stonemasons were employed by the Knights Templar to build these grandiose, because again, Knights Templar weren't not, they were an order of knights, like, and I also don't think it's just the Knights Templar. I believe the Hospitallers, and I believe the Knights of St. John, and all these other
building things like cathedrals is not like building like a hovel, you know what I mean? Like it's right. It was a super super skill. Like there was
right.
It was in its entire whole body of knowledge that you could only get if you were specializing in that. So,
and I also
weren't. I'm sure there weren't Knights Templars that were like.
Well, here's the other thing. We know the Knights Templars went to the Middle East. They got a whole bunch of knowledge. Like we know this because they came back.
Saracens,
and
this,
they got knowledge from mixing with the local cultures, and that's realistically after the Knights Templar and the Crusaders went to Jerusalem. That's when they came back, and you started seeing the rise of Gothic churches.
Yep.
And I believe that was ancient architect tech. I can't speak. Ancient architecture that was found in the Middle East, and they brought it to the stonemason guilds and said, hey, you guys build shit. Try building this.
Possible.
And think about this. If the Knights Templar didn't want the church to know where they got this hidden secret knowledge, they would also employ the stonemasons to keep their fucking mouth shut about where they got it. So there you're also getting a second form of secrecy of, we need to keep our mouth shut because if we don't, we're going to get the Knights Templar.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Yeah, so.
I mean, it's a theory. It's a theory.
It's highly speculative, and it's based on no evidence whatsoever.
No evidence whatsoever.
Yeah, it sounds compelling. I like it.
That's where I believe that the beginning started. Now, mind you, one of the things that most secret groups do, who are truly quote-unquote secret, is they don't keep records of what the fuck they're doing. Mm. Because, again, look at Al Capone.
Yeah.
He got popped for tax evasion because somebody found his freaking his ledger of money. And that's how they got him.
Yeah.
So, realistically, I don't believe that these secret organizations are going to be keeping minutes.
No.
And or names,
especially with how much control that, you know, the Catholic
church
had at
the
time,
right.
And so like you don't want to, you know, yeah, I guess I could see that. It makes sense to
Boy,
me.
Boy, I'm just a philosophizer.
No, you are today. It's amazing. So I think the forms and ceremonies of Masonry as we know them today probably came from that period, but for
right.
sure, I think the secrecy, the fraternal, you know, the fact that we're a group of like-minded men who get
right.
together. I think that whole kind of, and maybe even the symbolism, some of the symbolism came from prior to that.
And
I'd
mean,
love to know from where.
If you really coincide when Freemasonry started to actually put its shit on books, you're also coinciding with the Great Schism between the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church.
Yep.
And on top of that, you're seeing the decline, for the most part, of the Catholic Church. Where they
maybe
back,
the very start of it,
very
they,
start
yeah,
of it, right?
Power
but
started
you were
mess.
Saying like prior to then, they had an iron fist on
yep.
everything that happened.
Yep.
If they wanted a war to start or stop, it was done by the church.
Yep.
If they wanted a, you know, if they wanted a particular sect of groups like the pagans to be gone, or what was the one in Spain that they went after and killed the Cathars.
Oh,
they wiped out the Cathars because that's what the church commanded. That's what they wanted.
Yeah.
In the 1700s and even the late 1600s, you started to see that kind of come to an end.
Yeah, there was definitely no more, you know, holy wars being decreed and so forth. I mean, there was still some,
right.
some you know,
so you're getting kind of
less imperialistic things going on. But
you're
yeah,
you're getting the kind of Catholic Church when Freemasonry got its rise. They pitched a bitch about it, but you didn't really see it getting to a point where people were getting clipped because of it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it just really wasn't happening anymore because the church was losing its power, and they can't be like, they'd be like, oh, go kill that group of people. Fuck you. Like, it just wouldn't happen. Like, so that's where Freemasonry, I feel like, got to a point, you know, again, we're talking...
Where it could start putting...
Where
us,
it could... It, yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
You could start putting stuff on paper now because there wasn't so much of a worry of a backlash, if you will, of we're going to get clipped on this.
Until World War II and the anti-Masonic party rise and all that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, no, that wasn't World War II. That was Andrew Jackson's age. So that was
Yeah, but until those periods of time, Freemasonry was pretty, you know, not...
The last time Freemasonry got clipped at a large so-and-so, it was during the Nazis,
realistically. World War II, for sure, yeah.
Anti-Masonic party, they weren't killing Masons. They were more just denouncing them and trying to get rid of them.
Right.
Whereas the Nazis, they were...
But it might have been a valid reason, you know, to not have your name or publish your membership rolls or minutes or whatever, like, you
right.
know, because you may have a vested interest in not angering.
So that's kind of where I'm going with where it started. I mean, I could be right, I could be wrong. I'm usually wrong more than right, but I mean, that's a plausible hypothesis.
I think we're giving everybody something to think about and research on their own, which is really all we're trying to do.
Right. Let's get back into witchcraft. The first Grand Lodge then claimed authority over all Masonic groups in England. Yeah, Grand Lodges, they tend to do that. While Freemasonry doesn't date back to biblical times, it certainly predates the 18th century and most likely emerged during the medieval period.
Yep, you're right, yep. It's almost like you've read this article before.
I rest my case.
Yep, okay.
Slowly transforming from a guild of Scottish stonemasons into a strictly fraternal order. It's like I'm like Nostradamus or something like that.
So wait, you're over here stating the obvious based on
the work of
many scholars come before you. And
there you go,
like,
Discord.
Look at me.
No, we can make that meme. Rather than having Nostradamus, they have my face there and call me Nostradumbass.
Yeah. Get your Photoshop fired up, gentlemen.
See, this is what I do. I keep giving gifts.
Yeah.
Evidence of Masonry's roots in the medieval guilds can be seen in tools such as the square and compass, which would have been used by stonemasons to build churches and castles. Further evidence comes from a series of texts known as the Old Charges. I want to get my freaking hands on those so we can read them.
I think most of that is in the ancient landmarks.
No.
The Old Charges?
Has it been watered down?
Oh, I mean, I'm sure it's been changed, but I think it's based on...
I want
on
the original old charges.
Okay.
I want the originals, the OG ones.
Okay.
Do your research, people. They find them for me. Send them to Ken, because he can't send them to me anymore.
What?
Because
I'm capable of doing a Google search.
All right.
Don't make our people Google for us.
Which date from 1380 and provides structure and guidance as the behavior of stonemasons, along with instructions on how to run meetings? Beginning around 1600, a new series of rules, of course, were applied to Masonic guilds, regulating their structure and assembly, and this eventually led to non-operative Masons and term applied to people who joined the guild but were not actual stonemasons. Yep. Once people outside the actual profession of Masonry were allowed in, the medieval guild became a fraternal organization instead of a business group. Yeah, why are we talking about this? I want to get into the...
I think they're just giving you kind of general
background. I know, but this has nothing to do with witchcraft.
Yeah, but they don't know. I mean, they're educating you on Freemasonry because I think the expectation is that you know about witchcraft, but you don't know about Freemasonry.
All right.
That's kind of the tone of the article.
I'll give it. Yeah. I'm going to skip ahead here because it's basically going down the whole rabbit hole of Freemasons.
We know all this already.
We know this shit. Yeah. Masonic initiation and elevation rites have been so influential over the last several centuries because they are designed to be transformative.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Not only do they reveal knowledge generally reserved for Masons, six, but they are offered previously hidden wisdom and often employ frightening and disorienting techniques that lead to an overly emotional state.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of broad brush, but yeah, I see where they're going.
If you're including the Chamber of Reflection, okay.
Yeah, but
there's
also...
There's nothing frightening about our normal ritual. Maybe the last one. All right, I'll give you the last one. Yeah, I'll give you the last one.
That.
And maybe a couple other upstream in the appending bodies, but...
Yeah. And I mean, these terms are kind of strong, and I know it's because they're derived. They're talking about it from, you know, from like a Wicca standpoint.
We're also trying to get a shock value in the article to get listeners.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, disorientation. I mean, that's definitely a part of the ritual. It's not like we spin you around and like make you.
The wonder ball goes round.
Yeah, we don't do that. But like,
give you a bat and try hitting a baseball with it. Like,
yeah, we don't do that. But when your ritual involves a little bit of disorientation, there's a reason behind it. Like, we're trying, like, there's a fraternal reason for that kind of a thing. We're not doing it to,
right,
you know, straight up disorient people. But I would imagine there are elements of the Wicca ritual that are probably very similar and were probably derived.
All right.
The same things.
Yeah, okay, the disorienting thing you sold me on. The frightening. Yes and no. Again, if you're using the chamber of reflection, that's meant to put a little freaking, that's meant to tighten your sphincter a little bit, I would say.
Yep.
It's got a little bit of a shock value to it. You're like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, but there's nothing overt. There's nothing that we do for the sake of just, you know, terrifying
somebody.
But
I mean,
somebody,
for the most part, most of them aren't terrifying. They're more of a lesson.
Yep.
As we move later in this chapter into the ideas and practices found in many witchcraft rites pertaining to the initiation elevation, we'll see many of the same techniques and concept by the Mason. This is where I want to get into the meat and potatoes of it. This is talking about our ritual. We're going to skip past all this because I want to get to...
Hi.
Quieto out there. I want to get to the... we're just... where the hell? Oh, I'm going to be pissed if that's the end of the article because...
They just talked about, like, the next chapter. How can they end the article after that? Cliffhanger.
Just give me a second. Keep following along here because I'm not seeing the Wiccan ritual rites. All right. Yeah, of course. It's not the end of the article. It's basically he's just talking all about what the Masons do, but they don't actually talk about...
The parallels.
Yeah, that kind of sucks. All right, so I'm gonna keep talking. I'm gonna look up witchcraft.
No, why don't you go through the article? Because here's the thing: even if they're talking about Freemasonry, they're talking about the elements of Freemasonry that are akin to Wicca ritual and like their belief systems and so forth. So we might get some tidbits from that anyway. Or you can just throw it out whole hog and do some
throwing
live research
whole,
on the
doing
air.
Doing some freaking research here.
All right.
God damn it, it's a book.
Well, I'm going to take this opportunity to once again remind everyone that for $5 or more per month, you too can join our Patreon, which gives you access to exclusive content, which we'll be creating much more of. Video vignettes. We have...
piss me off.
We have priority access to certain events that only our Discordians and our Patreon followers have access to. You also get access to Discord, which is our chat, live text chat and video chat service. We have several channels set up on there for different topics, everything from general Freemasonry to the different appendant bodies. If you're a member of an appendant body, you get added to that channel, and you can talk about things that are specifically related to that body. We have some other fun things we do, like fantasy football and some other kind of, you know...
Which, by the way, is starting soon.
It is, and that just reminded me that I have to go in and kind of, like, update my profile and everything. We do have some kind of general chat as well. We've got some great people in there. Brothers, not just brothers, but individuals that are interested in Freemasonry that may be petitioning Freemasonry. Women, not just men. So it's a pretty inclusive community, and we talk about all kinds of interesting things, sometimes about Freemasonry and sometimes just about our general lives. So you get access to that, exclusive access to us through that, and you also get the elusive Gold Tone Freemasons podcast pin just for becoming a member of Patreon. I'll give you a tip. You could even join for 1 month, and you'll still get access to that for 1 month, but you'll still get the pin.
All right, I got a little bit of something here. And this is off of a book, and it's called The Square and the Circle, Influences of Freemasonry in Wicca Paganism. And this is a book written by Payam Nabarz.
Yeah. Wait, there was more?
Yeah, something like that. So this description, this is a couple things, little excerpts from the book or whatever, and it says, "And in this way truly are erected the holy twin pillars, Boaz and Jacob, kiss his breasts."
Whoa. What?
Yeah. "In beauty and strength they were erected to the wonder and glory of all men." And this is from the Wiccan Book of Shadows. "On the face it is nothing, on the face of it, nothing could be further apart than Wicca, the goddess god Oh, no. He's saying that this is...
That there's no parallels between Freemasonry and...
No.
Witchcraft? Okay.
He's saying that's what our ritual is. That doesn't happen.
Oh, that is not true. This is what happens when we Google stuff on the fly, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. This is, you're getting it raw and uncut. Actually, probably not raw and uncut, because we're probably going to edit this episode since we're not live. But under normal circumstances, when we broadcast live, you're getting this raw and
uncut. Okay, let's see here. This is an excerpt from the Wicca's teaching in the Charge of the Goddess.
Okay, so and that's one of their ceremonies?
That's one of the ceremonies.
Okay.
And this, I'm just going to read it. I have not read it yet, but we're going to see if we can draw a parallel between the two.
Let's do it.
There's even. To thou who thinkest to seek me, know that thy seeking and yearning shall avail thee not unless thou knowest the mystery. If that which thou seekest thou findest not within me, within thee, thou wilt never find it without. For behold, I have been with thee from the beginning, and I am that which is attained in the end of desire. And the comparison is, the same message is also given to all Master Masons in their third degree ceremony. An injunction to reflect on the most interest of all human studies, the knowledge of yourself. Mm-hmm. In both we can still hear down the centuries the echoes of Plato's teachings in the Delphic Maxim at the Temple of Apollo in Delphi.
There you go. What?
That's where it comes from, right there. They're saying that this is part of a ritual in the third degree. Marry meet, marry part, marry meet again.
Yep. So just not in so many words, but yeah, that's probably what their wording for it is. But yes, the concept is the same.
It is used in the third degree, and we teach Plato's in the Delphic Maxim at the Temple of Apollo. And happy we have met, happy we have been, happy may we part, and happy meet again. Words spoken at the end of the second degree Masonic initiation. Not in the United States of America.
Yeah, maybe not in so many words, but I understand what they're saying.
I get what he's saying,
there is
yes.
Definitely
and I think ours is, like you were saying, we meet on the level.
So may we ever meet, act, and part. Yes.
Yeah, How do Masons meet on the level? How do they act by the plum? And we depart upon a square, so we ever meet, act, and part.
Right.
That's what he's drawing.
Yeah, and right. there's like a part of our closing prayer, I think, too, which is also similar. But yeah, there's definitely that concept of, hey, we're better people when we're together. We should be better people when we leave.
Oh.
And hopefully we get to see each other again soon.
Esty has a Masonic spell. I want to know what it is.
Wait, there's a Masonic spell?
I don't know. It's some stupid link that I clicked on.
Oh, man, you're going down the rabbit hole.
No, right, it brought me to Esty page where you can buy shit, so clearly it's a fucking... It's a.
You can buy a spell.
Oh.
You want my credit card? Let's get crazy. Let's bust out the Ouija board. Come on, we got time. We're doing a doubleheader today.
Oh, here's one: History of the Wiccan phrase "So mote it be." Okay. So
spoiler alert, came from us.
Yeah. So apparently, "So mote it be" is used at the end of many Wiccan and pagan spells and prayers. It is an archaic phrase that many people in the pagan community use, yet its origins may not be pagan at all. Yep. So may it be a Masonic tradition.
Although paganism goes back way further than Freemasonry in its current form. So,
well, they're talking about in Wiccan here. So in So Mote It Be in Masonic tradition, occultist Aleister Crowley used So Mote It Be in some of his writings and claimed it to be an ancient and magical phrase, but it's very likely that he borrowed it from the Freemasons. He didn't borrow it. He stole it. He didn't even make it to the freaking Master Mason degree because he was a fucking nut job.
Yeah, but you know what? I think we probably got it from somewhere else, too. I don't think we were the origin of the phrase. I feel like I read an article about that at some point in the past. Like, it was used by certain sects of the church, perhaps? Something like that. But, like, as a phrase, I mean, like, whatever, they're just words, but I think strung together that way, they were used by some other organization prior to us, and we...
Right. It actually says it's in the old charges of the Masonic, so that's probably the old charges, not the modern charges, but... Okay.
So it at least goes back to the origin of modern Freemasonry.
1300s or so.
Whoa. Old charges or 1300s?
That's what it said just in the last article. It said 1380 something.
So that would be the old charges used for the operative stonemason guilds.
Correct. Yes.
Interesting. We gotta unpack those at some point in the near future. Yeah, we're gonna have to.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. We got a name that we can attach to this shit. So it's talking about Aleister Crowley, even though he's a freaking psychopath. He, I want to be clear, he was a Mason to the Fellowcraft degree. Never made it to MM. And, yeah, I think he got kicked the fuck out.
Yeah, not a spokesman of the fraternity at all.
But he stole some shit and made his own group.
Yeah.
And then he did some crazy sex ritual shit and somewhere in Italy, and we did a whole episode
on it. You
ever
see Futurama, that show Futurama?
Nah, maybe one or
like
two.
Bender, there's a robot who's like very funny, outspoken, right?
And I know
like,
the robot, I don't know.
I'm going to start my own Freemasonry with blackjack and hookers. Somebody will get that out there.
Yeah.
Not George.
No, it's still funny. So anyway, he's saying he borrowed it from the race, and he stole it because he took it, and then he hauled ass. It is the equivalent of amen, or as God wills it to be.
Yep, true.
Gerald Gardner, a founder of modern Wicca, was also believed to have Masonic connections. Shocker. Although there's the same question about whether or not he was a master mason, as he claimed to be. Here's the problem with this, okay? There are so many people that use the title Master Mason or Freemason as a like a power title.
As like an honorary title.
Honorary, not an honorary, but like a power title.
Okay.
Like, oh, I'm creating this new group because I've been in Freemason. I'm a Master Mason.
Yeah.
And people go, oh, you're a Master Mason.
Yeah.
And then they follow you to Italy and do weird sex things like Aleister Crowley did.
Yeah,
so that's the downside of when people, and they may not even be Master Masons. Because realistically, and again, I'm not shitting on the Wiccan community. Please don't take it that way. I mean,
no,
I'm just saying that there are people who take advantage of people. Look at Jim.
Like Aleister Crowley.
Or Jim Jones.
Yeah.
He was spoken to by God, apparently. Everybody believed he was a freaking, he was a prophet. Next thing you know, you're drinking Kool-Aid and all kinds of other crazy shit in some place called Jonestown. Like, there are people that take titles and names and things and they manipulate them to their own benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I'm sorry, if he started the Wiccan thing, I guarantee you there had to have been some monetary form of, you need to pay us in order to be part of the Wiccan community.
Maybe.
I could be wrong.
Well, hold on. Point of clarification. Was Aleister Crowley, like, is he, like, the patron, like, the founder of the Wiccan religion? I don't think he's, like, affiliated with it at all, right?
No, he's
just
not.
Kinda
he
like,
went on his own crazy batshit.
He was just his own, you
They're
know,
saying this guy, Gerald Gardner, was the founder of modern Wicca.
Okay, there you go.
And there's a question of whether or not he was, if you can't, I'm sorry. So, in modern day, you can definitely authenticate. Thank you.
You're welcome.
If somebody's a Mason or not.
Yeah.
It's very simple.
Very easy.
You call up the Grand Lodge and you can say, hey, I have a long lost grandfather who I think was a Freemason. Can you find out if he was? And Grand Lodges will literally go in, but pull your little index card and we'll give you all the dates about initiated, raised.
Yeah. And it's usually the historian, either the grand historian or the lodge historians. And look, that's what they love. They took those jobs because they love the history.
Yes.
So they're more than willing
to
help.
It is not hard to find out if somebody was a Mason or not. So if there's a question if he was a Mason, he was not.
He probably wasn't, yeah.
No.
It's not like the lodge burned down and they lost all the records or something.
Right. Regardless, it is no surprise that the phrase turns up in contemporary pagan practice, considering the influence that the Masons had on both Gardner and Crowley. Oh, okay. What? Regardless, it's no surprise that the phrase turns up contemporary pagan practice, considering the influence that the Masons had on both Gardner and Crowley.
Yeah,
I don't know
saying,
if the Masons had influence on them. I think it's the other way around.
That's what I think they're alluding to, is the fact that, you know, they were impressed by Freemasonry and its rituals, not that
I just want to be clear.
Them or something.
Freemasons don't sit there and tell you, hey, go join a circle and resurrect some demons. And again, I'm being sarcastic. I'm being funny. Please don't take offense to this Wiccan people. But it's not like, hey, let's
I
go.
Don't think that's what Wiccan...
I don't know what the hell they do. All I know, this is the problem with...
There's definitely nothing about demons.
Here's the problem with pop culture. All I see in my head is that freaking the short-haired dark chick in the movie The Craft.
Oh, or those girls in Charmed.
No, I've never seen the movie, and I refuse to watch
it. Dude, it was
I'm
a TV show. At any rate, so we're showing our ignorance, just like, you know, we're trying to dispel the ignorance of the rest of the world about Freemasonry, but we clearly don't know what we're talking about.
No
in terms
idea.
Of Wicca. So yeah, please don't.
Well, that's why we do these episodes.
Please
don't
try
to
offense.
Make comparisons, and that's what we do.
Yeah, don't take offense. We're just stupid.
But I'm just saying, Freemasonry didn't influence people to go sit in a circle and do their thing, because that's not what we do. Nor did we influence Crowley to go on a freaking sex island in the middle of freaking Italy and do all kinds of crazy shit.
Ew. No, what we're into is more, you know, building ourselves, right? Becoming better human beings. There's a lot of symbolism in how we teach those types of lessons, so I'm sure a lot of that made its way into Wiccan and other religions, I'm sure. And symbolism. We're way into symbolism.
All right.
Which goes back to our roots and goes back to the fact that we used to be a bunch of operative stonemasons, and I'm sure most religions love symbolism. Some are completely against it, and, you know, it can't be any idols or whatever. But I would imagine in most cases, you know.
So I got a little something on this so mote it be thing.
Okay.
It first appeared in the poem called the Hallowell Manuscript in the Regius poem. We've covered those, I think.
The Regius poem. I think we have covered that.
Maybe
Hallowell, that name rings a bell.
We'll have to deep dive into those. Described as one of the old charges, of a Masonic tradition.
Oh,
it is not
that
clear.
Came from the Regius manuscript?
That's what it says. That's
okay,
where the old
so we did
derived.
Cover that. Yep. It was just a different term. Okay.
It's not clear who wrote the poem. It passed through various people until it found its way to the Royal Library and to the British Museum in 1757. The poem written around 1390 includes 64 pages written in rhyming copulates in Middle English. Jesus Christ, I am not reading that.
I think we
Holy
tried
shit.
Reading it once. Maybe we'll take another crack at it. Maybe I'll try.
It's translated as 15 articles. They were sought in 15 points. They were wrought.
Yeah.
It tells a story of the beginnings of masonry, supposed to be in ancient Egypt. Okay. It claims that the craft of masonry came to England during the time of King Athelasan. During the 900s. Nope. Athelstan.
Where are we here? Athelstan.
Athelstan.
Yeah. Athelstan.
Got it. Took me a minute. Sorry. Yeah. The poem explains different of 15 articles and 15 points of moral behavior for all Masons. Okay.
Yeah, and most of them are, if you read them, they're very, very similar to the ones that we talk about today.
The Hallowell Manuscript is the oldest genuine record of the craft of masonry known. The poem, however, refers back to an even older known manuscript. Oh, interesting. The final line of the manuscript is translated from Middle English. Thank you for translating, because I can't read for shit when it does not English. And I can't even read English half the time either. Christ, then of his high grace, save you both wit and space. Well, this book to know and read, heaven to have for you to meed. Reward. Amen, amen, so mote it be, so say we all for charity. Interesting.
So say.
So now let's just go off on a tear here. No more articles.
Wasn't so say we all what they said instead of so mote it be on the Battlestar Galactica? In the new Battlestar Galactica?
Never
so
seen
say
it.
We all. No?
Never seen it.
Okay. Might be time to. You know.
So let's just go off on our own little tear. Let's do comparisons of things that we know of witchcraft. Most witchcraft speaks of peace, being one with nature, similar to Freemasonry. I don't know if we dive deep into the nature part of it, but
no, we talk more about like the human life cycle, right? Like the phases of a man's life kind of thing. But there's definitely
nature derives in the middle chamber.
Yes. But like, we're not whole hog about it, where I think in the Wiccan religion, it's very like, very earth.
Don't shit where you eat, destroy your freaking community and shit like that.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about the people who dye their hair freaking pink and put black freaking contacts in their face and they're covered in tattoos and shit.
Emo people? Goth?
Like that type of Wiccan. I'm talking about like the other end of
it.
I don't
know if there's people.
You know, where you go
I
into.
Think you're generalizing based on people's.
I'm not generalizing. I'm talking about like there are extremes of both. Okay.
Yeah, fair
You
point.
Have Freemasonry. Which is mainstream masonry, what we do, you know, which is, and then you have your clandies who take the Masonic ritual to a whole nother level. Again, I spoke to somebody who used to be a Clandy, and he was beaten with paddles during his Master Mason degree.
Yeah.
Like, that's taking shit to the extreme. So
there are others whose dues are like $700 or $800 a year or something, and they're getting insurance benefits as part of it.
Yes. Well, supposedly you get insurance benefits. You're getting fined like fucking $5,000 and stuff like that for, I don't know, speaking against the Grand Master or some shit like that. Yeah. Like, so there's the extreme end of it as well. Just like in Wiccan, I imagine there are the people you go into their little Wiccan shops in giving a little shout out here. I don't even know if the lady knows about us, but there's a little Wiccan shop in Old Mystic Village. Where you go in there, okay. And they got stones and stuff, and it's all peace and tranquil music, and they got all kinds of shit up like that. But it's a Wiccan shop, and you can buy sage, and you can buy, like, you know, energy stones and shit like that. But that's
cool.
Peaceful end of it.
Yeah.
And then you get the other end of it, who does crazy devil worship and shit too. Yeah. So,
but I think if you talk to anybody,
you get extremes in everything, even religion. You get the people who go to church every Sunday, and then you get Waco, Texas. Like,
yeah. And I think if you talk to anybody who's a mainstream Wiccan and you talk about those kinds of things, I think they'll tell you that those people aren't part of their religion; they're offshoots, right? Whereas
they're Clandys.
Just exactly. We got to be careful, because if we say that there's like extremes in that religion where it's like people go off the rails and like try to raise demons and stuff, it's like, it's not the case.
No.
Those people are...
The movie The Craft is just a movie.
Yeah.
But people take that movie as being, that's what it's all about. Unfortunately.
Right. Just like a lot of people take Freemasonry as what they saw in The Freemason, that freaking D-list crappy... Yeah. It was
or it's National Treasure is the other big one. No, we don't have tunnels dug somewhere. I mean, there's no national treasure trove somewhere that the Freemasons are keeping secret.
No, like, not that I found yet.
But again, it's satire. It's movie culture. So you got to kind of meet a middle ground there that, you know, are we secretive?
No.
Yes. But do we have, like, underground hidden treasure troves? No. I'm driving a piece of shit 2011 Jeep Liberty with a rust spot in the back. If there was a treasure trove, I would have fucking known about it at this point.
Yeah, you know, the conspiracy theorists will say, of course he drives a shitbox, because if he showed everyone that he was driving around in a brand new SL after he becomes a Freemason, then that would let the cat out of the bag.
You leave Hi-Ho Silver alone.
Who?
Hi-Ho Silver.
Who's Hi-Ho Silver?
My car. The one before was Black Betty, but I blew a tranny in it twice.
Oh yeah, I remember that car too.
Everybody names their car. What's yours, bitch?
No, I actually never named my car.
Never named any of your cars?
Never named any of my cars.
Really?
You know who I know that
my
name
Jetta was called the Red Rocket. I had a 94
every,
Jetta.
Every girl I've ever dated named her car.
What the fuck? What are you trying to say?
I'm saying guys don't name their cars, man.
Yes, you do. I had a buddy of mine, Dan Bello. He had a freaking Trans Am. He called it the Thunder Chicken.
Okay. I mean, that's funny. That's more like a nickname. It's not like he like talks to his car designer. You guys help us out. Like, leave some comments and let us know if this is actually a thing or if I'm correct.
I'm catching shit, though.
Don't need to name our vehicles or any of our possessions, because anthropomorphizing our things is probably not psychologically healthy. Continue.
You name your guns?
I do.
There we go! I made my point. I rest my case.
They mean something different to me, though.
Again, I'm carrying sweet, sweet Lucinda right now.
Sweet, sweet Lucinda. Best name ever, by the way. If I ever named my car, that's what I would name my car.
Sweet, sweet Lucinda.
Is Lucinda.
Oh, man. Yeah. What do you say, Kenny?
I think we're good.
I think we're good.
We wrapped it up pretty well the source material that we had. And if you guys want to hear more about this topic, please let us know. Or if you have more information about this topic, maybe you are a Wiccan and we got some stuff wrong. Entirely probable, by the way.
Most likely.
Let us know, and we'll clear it up for you. We definitely want to at least try to learn.
We should be good for next week to record, I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Next Sunday or Saturday.
Sunday for sure.
Sunday for sure. Then Sunday it is. We'll be back. So, for the Freemasons Podcast, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I am Right Worship Brother George Marjorie signing off.
And Worship Brother Ken signing off.
Have a good one, everyone.
Take care, friends.